On Senior Mendicants, Part 2, translated by Bhikkhu Sujato. Declaration. There Venerable Maha Moggallana addressed the mendicants. Reverends, mendicants. Reverend, they replied. Venerable Maha Moggallana said this. Take a mendicant who declares enlightenment. I understand. Rebirth is ended. The spiritual journey has been completed. What had to be done has been done. There is nothing further for this place. They're pursued, pressed, and grilled by the realized one, or by one of his disciples who has the absorptions, and is skilled in attainments in the minds of others, and in encompassing another's mind. Grilled in this way, they get stuck or lose their way. They fall to ruin and disaster. The realized one or one of his disciples encompasses their mind and investigates. Why does this venerable declare enlightenment, saying, I understand, rebirth is ended, the spiritual journey has been completed, what had to be done has been done, there is nothing further for this place? They understand, this venerable gets irritable, and often lives with a heart full of anger. But being full of anger means decline in the teaching and training proclaimed by the realized one. This venerable is acrimonious, prone to disdain, contemptuous, jealous, stingy, devious, deceitful. This venerable has corrupt wishes and often lives with a heart full of desire. But being full of desire means decline in the teaching and training proclaimed by the realized one. When there is still more to be done, this venerable stopped halfway after achieving some trifling distinction. But stopping halfway means decline in the teaching and training proclaimed by the realized one. It is quite impossible for a mendicant to achieve growth, improvement, or maturity in this teaching and training without giving up these 10 qualities. It is quite possible for a mendicant to achieve growth, improvement, or maturity in this teaching and training after giving up these 10 qualities. A boaster. At one time, Venerable Mahajunda was staying in the land of the Chetis at Sahajati. There he addressed the mendicants. Reverends, mendicants. Reverend, they replied. Venerable Mahajunda said this. Take a mendicant who boasts and brags about their achievements. I enter and emerge from the first absorption, the second absorption, the third absorption, and the fourth absorption. And I enter and emerge from the dimensions of infinite space, infinite consciousness, nothingness, and neither perception nor non-perception. And I enter and emerge from the cessation of perception and feeling. They're pursued, pressed, and grilled by the realized one, or by one of his disciples who has the absorptions, and is skilled in attainments, in the minds of others, and encompassing another's mind. Grilled in this way, they get stuck or lose their way. They fall to ruin and disaster. The realized one or one of his disciples encompasses their mind and investigates. Why does this venerable boast and brag about their achievements, saying, I enter and emerge from the first absorption, second, third, and fourth absorption, the dimensions of infinite space, infinite consciousness, nothingness, and neither perception nor non-perception, and the cessation of perception and feeling. They understand, for a long time this venerable's deeds have been broken, tainted, spotty, and marred. Their deeds and behaviour are inconsistent. This venerable is unethical, and unethical conduct means decline in the teaching and training proclaimed by the realized one. This venerable is unfaithful, and lack of faith means decline. This venerable is unlearned and unpracticed, and lack of learning means decline. This venerable is hard to admonish, and being hard to admonish means decline. This venerable has bad friends, and bad friends mean decline. This venerable is lazy, and laziness means decline. This venerable is unmindful, and unmindfulness means decline. This venerable is deceptive, and deceitfulness means decline. This venerable is burdensome, and being burdensome means decline. This venerable is witless, and lack of wisdom means decline in the teaching and training proclaimed by the realized one. Suppose one friend was to say to another, "My dear friend, when you need money for some payment, just ask me and I'll give it." Then when some payment falls due, that friend says to their friend, "I need some money, my dear friend, give me some." They'd say, "Well then, my dear friend, dig here." So they dig there, but don't find anything. They'd say, "You lied to me, my dear friend. You spoke hollow words when you told me to dig here." They'd say, "My dear friend, I didn't lie or speak hollow words. Well then, dig here." So they dig there as well, but don't find anything. They'd say, "You lied to me, my dear friend. You spoke hollow words when you said, dig here." They'd say, "My dear friend, I didn't lie or speak hollow words. Well then, dig here." So they dig there as well, but don't find anything. They'd say, "You lied to me, my dear friend. You spoke hollow words when you said, dig here." They'd say, "My dear friend, I didn't lie or speak hollow words, but I had gone mad. I was out of my mind." In the same way, take a mendicant who boasts and brags about their achievements. I enter and emerge from the first absorption, second, third, and fourth absorption, the dimensions of infinite space, infinite consciousness, nothingness, and neither perception nor non-perception, and the cessation of perception and feeling. They're pursued, pressed, and grilled by the realized one, or by one of his disciples. Grilled in this way, they get stuck or lose their way. They fall to ruin and disaster. The realized one or one of his disciples encompasses their mind and investigates. Why does this venerable boast and brag about their achievements, saying, "I enter and emerge from the first absorption, second, third, and fourth absorption, the dimensions of infinite space, infinite consciousness, nothingness, and neither perception nor non-perception, and the cessation of perception and feeling?" They understand, for a long time this venerable's deeds have been broken, tainted, spotty, and marred. Their deeds and behaviour are inconsistent. This venerable is unethical, and unethical conduct means decline in the teaching and training proclaimed by the realized one. This venerable is unfaithful, and lack of faith means decline. This venerable is unlearned and unpracticed, and lack of learning means decline. This venerable is hard to admonish, and being hard to admonish means decline. This venerable has bad friends, and bad friends mean decline. This venerable is lazy, and laziness means decline. This venerable is unmindful, and unmindfulness means decline. This venerable is deceptive, and deceitfulness means decline. This venerable is burdensome, and being burdensome means decline. This venerable is witless, and lack of wisdom means decline in the teaching and training proclaimed by the realized one. It is quite impossible for a mendicant to achieve growth, improvement, or maturity in this teaching and training without giving up these 10 qualities. It is quite possible for a mendicant to achieve growth, improvement, or maturity in this teaching and training after giving up these 10 qualities. Overestimation. At one time, Venerable Maha Kassapa was staying near Rajagaha in the bamboo grove, the squirrel's feeding ground. There he addressed the mendicants. "Reverends, mendicants." "Reverend," they replied. Venerable Maha Kassapa said this: "Take a mendicant who declares enlightenment. I understand rebirth is ended, The spiritual journey has been completed. What had to be done has been done. There is nothing further for this place. They're pursued, pressed, and grilled by the realized one, or by one of his disciples who has the absorptions, and is skilled in attainments, in the minds of others, and in encompassing another's mind. Grilled in this way, they get stuck or lose their way. They fall to ruin and disaster. The realized one or one of his disciples encompasses their mind and investigates. Why does this venerable declare enlightenment, saying, "I understand, rebirth is ended, the spiritual journey has been completed, what had to be done has been done, there is nothing further for this place"? They understand. This venerable overestimates themselves and takes that to be the truth. They perceive that they've attained what they haven't attained, done what they haven't done, and achieved what they haven't achieved, and they declare enlightenment out of overestimation. "I understand. Rebirth is ended. The spiritual journey has been completed. What had to be done has been done. There is nothing further for this place." The realized one or one of his disciples encompasses their mind and investigates. Why does this venerable overestimate themselves and take that to be the truth? Why do they perceive that they've attained what they haven't attained, done what they haven't done, and achieved what they haven't achieved? And why do they declare enlightenment out of overestimation? "I understand. Rebirth is ended. The spiritual journey has been completed. What had to be done has been done. There is nothing further for this place." They understand. This venerable is very learned, remembering and keeping what they've learned. These teachings are good in the beginning, good in the middle, and good in the end, meaningful and well phrased, describing a spiritual practice that's entirely full and pure. They are very learned in such teachings, remembering them, rehearsing them, mentally scrutinizing them and penetrating them theoretically. Therefore, this venerable overestimates themselves and takes that to be the truth. They understand. This venerable is covetous and often lives with a heart full of covetousness. Being full of covetousness means decline in the teaching and training proclaimed by the realized one. This venerable has ill will and often lives with a heart full of ill will. Being full of ill will means decline in the teaching and training. This venerable has dullness and drowsiness, and often lives with a heart full of dullness and drowsiness. Being full of dullness and drowsiness means decline in the teaching and training. This venerable has restlessness, and often lives with a heart full of restlessness. Being full of restlessness means decline in the teaching and training. This venerable has doubt, and often lives with a heart full of doubt. Being full of doubt means decline in the teaching and training. This venerable relishes work. They love it and like to relish it. Loving work and liking to relish it means decline in the teaching and training. This venerable relishes talk. They love it and like to relish it. Loving talk and liking to relish it means decline in the teaching and training. This venerable relishes sleep. They love it and like to relish it. Loving sleep and liking to relish it means decline in the teaching and training. This venerable relishes company. They love it and like to relish it. Loving company and liking to relish it means decline in the teaching and training. When there is still more to be done, this venerable stopped halfway after achieving some trifling distinction. Stopping halfway means decline in the teaching and training proclaimed by the realized one. It is quite impossible for a mendicant to achieve growth, improvement, or maturity in this teaching and training without giving up these 10 qualities. It is quite possible for a mendicant to achieve growth, improvement, or maturity in this teaching and training after giving up these 10 qualities. Disciplinary issues. There the Buddha addressed the mendicants concerning the mendicant Kalandaka. Mendicants, "Venerable Sir," they replied. The Buddha said this: "Firstly, a mendicant raises disciplinary issues and doesn't praise the settlement of disciplinary issues. This quality doesn't conduce to fondness, respect, esteem, harmony, and unity. Furthermore, a mendicant doesn't want to train and doesn't praise taking up the training. Furthermore, a mendicant has corrupt wishes and doesn't praise getting rid of wishes. Furthermore, a mendicant is irritable and doesn't praise getting rid of anger. Furthermore, a mendicant denigrates others and doesn't praise getting rid of denigration. Furthermore, a mendicant is devious and doesn't praise getting rid of deviousness. Furthermore, a mendicant is deceitful and doesn't praise getting rid of deceitfulness. Furthermore, a mendicant doesn't pay attention to the teachings and doesn't praise attending to the teachings. Furthermore, a mendicant is not in retreat and doesn't praise retreat. Furthermore, a mendicant is inhospitable to their spiritual companions and doesn't praise hospitality. This quality doesn't conduce to fondness, respect, esteem, harmony, and unity. Even though a mendicant such as this might wish, if only my spiritual companions would honour, respect, esteem, and venerate me, still they don't honour, respect, esteem, and venerate them. Why is that? Because their sensible spiritual companions see that they haven't given up those bad, unskillful qualities. Suppose a wild colt was to wish, if only the humans would put me in a thoroughbred's place, feed me a thoroughbred's food, and give me a thoroughbred's grooming. Still the humans wouldn't put them in a thoroughbred's place, feed them a thoroughbred's food, or give them a thoroughbred's grooming. Why is that? Because sensible humans see that they haven't given up their tricks, bluffs, ruses, and feints. In the same way, even though a mendicant such as this might wish, if only my spiritual companions would honour, respect, esteem, and venerate me, still they don't honour, respect, esteem, and venerate them. Why is that? Because their sensible spiritual companions see that they haven't given up those bad, unskillful qualities. Next, a mendicant doesn't raise disciplinary issues and praises the settlement of disciplinary issues. This quality conduces to fondness, respect, esteem, harmony, and unity. Furthermore, a mendicant wants to train and praises taking up the training. Furthermore, a mendicant has few desires and praises getting rid of desires. Furthermore, a mendicant is not irritable and praises getting rid of anger. Furthermore, a mendicant doesn't denigrate others and praises getting rid of denigration. Furthermore, a mendicant isn't devious and praises getting rid of deviousness. Furthermore, a mendicant isn't deceitful and praises getting rid of deceitfulness. Furthermore, a mendicant pays attention to the teachings and praises attending to the teachings. Furthermore, a mendicant is in retreat and praises retreat. Furthermore, a mendicant is hospitable to their spiritual companions and praises hospitality. This quality conduces to fondness, respect, esteem, harmony, and unity. Even though a mendicant such as this might never wish, if only my spiritual companions would honour, respect, esteem, and venerate me, still they honour, respect, esteem, and venerate them. Why is that? Because their sensible spiritual companions see that they've given up those bad, unskillful qualities. Suppose a fine thoroughbred never wished, if only the humans would put me in a thoroughbred's place, feed me a thoroughbred's food, and give me a thoroughbred's grooming. Still the humans would put them in a thoroughbred's place, feed them a thoroughbred's food, and give them a thoroughbred's grooming. Why is that? Because sensible humans see that they've given up their tricks, bluffs, ruses, and feints. In the same way, even though a mendicant such as this might never wish, if only my spiritual companions would honour, respect, esteem, and venerate me, still they honour, respect, esteem, and venerate them. Why is that? because their sensible spiritual companions see that they've given up those bad, unskillful qualities. An abuser. Mendicants. Any mendicant who abuses and insults their spiritual companions, denouncing the noble ones, will, without a doubt, fall into one of these 10 disasters. What 10? They don't achieve the unachieved. What they have achieved falls away. They don't refine their good qualities. They overestimate their good qualities, or lead the spiritual life dissatisfied, or commit a corrupt offence, or contract a severe illness, or go mad and lose their mind. They feel lost when they die, and when their body breaks up after death, they are reborn in a place of loss, a bad place, the underworld, hell. Any mendicant who abuses and insults their spiritual companions, denouncing the noble ones, will, without a doubt, fall into one or other of these 10 disasters. With Kokalika. Then the mendicant Kokalika went up to the Buddha, bowed, sat down to one side, and said to him, "Sir, Sariputta and Moggallana have corrupt wishes. They've fallen under the sway of corrupt wishes." "Don't say that, Kokalika. Don't say that, Kokalika. Have confidence in Sariputta and Moggallana. They're good monks." For a second time, Kokalika said to the Buddha, "Despite my faith and trust in the Buddha, Sariputta and Moggallana have corrupt wishes. They've fallen under the sway of corrupt wishes." "Don't say that, Kokalika. Don't say that, Kokalika. Have confidence in Sariputta and Moggallana. They're good monks." For a third time, Kokalika said to the Buddha, "Despite my faith and trust in the Buddha, Sariputta and Moggallana have corrupt wishes. They've fallen under the sway of corrupt wishes." "Don't say that, Kokalika. Don't say that, Kokalika. Have confidence in Sariputta and Moggallana. They're good monks." Then Kokalika got up from his seat, bowed, and respectfully circled the Buddha, keeping him on his right before leaving. Not long after he left, his body erupted with boils the size of mustard seeds. The boils grew to the size of mung beans, then chickpeas, then jujube seeds, then jujubes, then marrowballons, then unripe wood apples, then ripe wood apples. Finally they burst open and pus and blood oozed out. He just laid down on banana leaves like a poisoned fish. Then Tudu, the independent divinity, went to Kokalika, and standing in the air he said to him, "Kokalika, have confidence in Sariputta and Moggallana. They're good monks." "Who are you, Reverend?" "I am Tudu, the independent divinity." "Didn't the Buddha declare you a non-returner? So what exactly are you doing back here? See how far you have strayed." Then Tudu addressed Kokalika in verse. "A person is born with an axe in their mouth. A fool cuts themselves with it when they say bad words. When you praise someone worthy of criticism, or criticize someone worthy of praise, you choose a losing hand with your own mouth. You'll never find happiness that way. A losing hand at dice is a trivial thing. If all you lose is your money and all you own, even yourself. What's a really terrible hand is to hate the holy ones. For 100,000 times 100 million, times 536, times 1,000, times 10 million years, a slanderer of noble ones goes to hell, having aimed bad words and thoughts at them." Then the mendicant Kokalika died of that illness. He was reborn in the pink lotus hell because of his resentment for Sariputta and Moggallana. Then, late at night, the glorious divinity, Sahampati, lighting up the entire Jeta's grove, went up to the Buddha, bowed, stood to one side and said to him, "Sir, the mendicant Kokalika has passed away. He was reborn in the pink lotus hell because of his resentment for Sariputta and Moggallana. That's what the divinity Sahampati said. Then he bowed and respectfully circled the Buddha, keeping him on his right, before vanishing right there. Then, when the night had passed, the Buddha told the mendicants all that had happened. When he said this, one of the mendicants asked the Buddha, "Sir, how long is the lifespan in the pink lotus hell?" "It's long, mendicant. It's not easy to calculate how many years, how many hundreds or thousands or hundreds of thousands of years it lasts. But, sir, is it possible to give a simile?"
"It's possible," said the Buddha.
"Suppose there was a Kosalan load of 20 packs of sesame seed, and at the end of every 100 years someone would remove a single seed from it. By this means, the Kosalan load of 20 packs of sesame seed would run out faster than a single lifetime in the Abuddha hell. Now 20 lifetimes in the Abuddha hell equal 1 lifetime in the Nirabuddha hell. 20 lifetimes in the Nirabuddha hell equal 1 lifetime in the Abhava hell. 20 lifetimes in the Abhava hell equal 1 lifetime in the Atatta hell. 20 lifetimes in the Atatta hell equal 1 lifetime in the Ahaha hell. 20 lifetimes in the Ahaha hell equal 1 lifetime in the Yellow Lotus hell. 20 lifetimes in the Yellow Lotus hell equal 1 lifetime in the Fragrant Water Lily hell. 20 lifetimes in the Fragrant Water Lily hell equal 1 lifetime in the Blue Water Lily hell. 20 lifetimes in the Blue Water Lily hell equal 1 lifetime in the White Lotus hell. 20 lifetimes in the White Lotus hell equal 1 lifetime in the Pink Lotus hell. The mendicant Kokalika has been reborn in the Pink Lotus hell because of his resentment for Sariputta and Moggallana. That is what the Buddha said. Then the Holy One, the teacher, went on to say, "A person is born with an axe in their mouth. A fool cuts themselves with it when they say bad words. When you praise someone worthy of criticism, or criticize someone worthy of praise, you choose a losing hand with your own mouth. You'll never find happiness that way. A losing hand at dice is a trivial thing if all you lose is your money and all you own, even yourself. What's a really terrible hand is to hate the holy ones. For 100,000 times 100 million, times 536, times 1,000, times 10 million years, a slanderer of noble ones goes to hell, having aimed bad words and thoughts at them." The powers of one who has ended defilements. Then Venerable Sariputta went up to the Buddha, bowed and sat down to one side. The Buddha said to him, "Sariputta, how many powers does a mendicant who has ended the defilements have that qualify them to claim, 'My defilements have ended'?"
"Sir, a mendicant who has ended the defilements has 10 powers that qualify them to claim, 'My defilements have ended'."
"What 10?
"Firstly, a mendicant with defilements ended has clearly seen with right wisdom all conditions as truly impermanent. This is a power that a mendicant who has ended the defilements relies on to claim, 'My defilements have ended'. Furthermore, a mendicant with defilements ended has clearly seen with right wisdom that sensual pleasures are truly like a pit of glowing coals. This is a power that a mendicant who has ended the defilements relies on to claim, 'My defilements have ended'. Furthermore, the mind of a mendicant with defilements ended slants, slopes, and inclines to seclusion. They're withdrawn, loving renunciation, and have totally eliminated defiling influences. This is a power that a mendicant who has ended the defilements relies on to claim, 'My defilements have ended'. Furthermore, a mendicant with defilements ended has well developed the 4 kinds of mindfulness meditation, the 4 right efforts. the four bases of psychic power, the five faculties, the five powers, the seven awakening factors, the Noble Eightfold Path. This is a power that a mendicant who has ended the defilements relies on to claim, "My defilements have ended." A mendicant who has ended the defilements possesses these 10 powers that qualify them to claim, "My defilements have ended."